Hello and welcome, friends, to another edition of Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg, right here on your community radio station. We are Forward Radio, WFMPLP Louisville, broadcasting to you from high atop this historic Haburn building at 106.5 FM. We also live stream wherever you are. You can catch us maybe biking around this spring season. You can listen to us maybe on your smartphone at forwardradio.org. And while you're there, hey, celebrate with us. Our 7th anniversary has just passed. Thanks to everybody who chipped in and supported us during the pledge drive. If you didn't get a chance to, you can still do so at forwardradio.org. You can always support us. Listener sponsors keep us on the air. And then your volunteer power helps make us go too. So if you want to get involved, want to be a guest on the show, you want to get behind the microphones in any way or help us out behind the scenes, you can do so at forwardradio.org. Just click on participate. Well, as you know, what we do each week is get people in the saddle here in the studio on Forward Radio on Sustainability Now every week to talk about different topics in sustainability. And today we're going to touch on my favorite one. It's biking in Louisville. And I'm so excited to have Chris Butts in the studio with me. Welcome, Chris. Good to have you here on this beautiful day. Chris is a Louisville native and an avid cyclist who joined Louisville Metro, their Public Works Transportation Division, just last year as a transportation planner. And he manages Bike Louisville, the city's bike and scooter program. Maybe we could talk about that too, how scooters fit into all this. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the revival of Bike Louisville. And you can learn more about it. You can play along at home by going to louisvilleky.gov/bike-louisville. Chris, did you ever think you'd be working for Louisville Metro on bikes? Was that like a dream of yours growing up?
No, yeah, it's, you know, as an urban planner, it was definitely in the cards, yeah. and a cyclist myself. So yeah, it's been great so far.
Yeah. What part of the city did you grow up in? Was it one that was a little more bike friendly?
It was a little less bike friendly. It was over in East End, Holiday Manor area. So
some of those can be tough to navigate.
Absolutely. You can ride in the subdivisions, right, but once you hit those collector streets, oh, man, you're on your own.
Yeah. And that's kind of we're dealing with a lot of difficult legacies in our city, right, for making it more bike friendly. But we're also, I always want to stress, we are building on a really strong foundation here. Like, there is a pretty decent amount of bike infrastructure and more awareness than when I got here in 2009 amongst drivers and road users in general that there might be bikes on the streets. Do you have any idea about, just even anecdotally, about the number of bikes on the streets? What are the trends looking like? Especially this time of year, maybe people are getting back on their bikes, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This time of year, with the weather warming up, it's great to see people out on the street riding, yeah. Especially after this cold winter we had. Yeah. You know, you'll see the dedicated commuters out during those times, but yeah, it's really great to see maybe the less frequent riders out,
exactly,
you know, in the warmer weather.
And we'll have kids on bikes too as school lets out and they have more free time. Maybe they're biking to the library or the park or something like that this summer, right? And that's something I'm sure that a transportation planner needs to consider. Like, you're not necessarily dealing with like adults who are fully aware of how to use the road, right? And the spaces for bikes need to be accessible to everybody, and the roads need to be navigable for everyone, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That's a big consideration that we have. It's creating a bike network for all users, not just those who are maybe proficient or avid cyclists, but for all levels of cycling.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm so glad we're going to get to talk about this today and focus in on what we can do as a city to be more welcoming and embracing of bikes in every possible way. And certainly the city having a Bike Louisville program it got to be a big part of that, right?
Absolutely, yes. Having a program through Louisville Metro Public Works dedicated to supporting cycling and encouraging people to take up cycling is a big part of moving that trend forward.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, I've interviewed many of the folks involved with the Mayor's Office of Sustainability, if they've been part of the revival in any way, or how do you work with those folks?
Yeah, Louisville Metro Public Works works regularly with the Office of Sustainability. There's so much overlap between the projects that we work on and what they're working on, and we have similar goals and moving towards a more sustainable future.
Right, yeah. And there's so many challenges in our city to being more sustainable, but I've always thought that like this, the default behaviors around how we get around is definitely one of the biggest ones we need to tackle. And bikes need to just be part of the solution, right? And really intermodal solutions got to be part of it too. I know you used to work for TARC, right? And they have a commitment to bikes. You see every one of their buses has room for three bikes on it, right?
That's right. Every bus on the street right now has a bike rack. And at my time at TARC, a big consideration was connecting the first and last mile for people who need to get to a bus stop or from a bus stop, and planning out routes that could better suit any modes of transportation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that makes me think about scooters, too, because they're always pitched as a last mile solution. Mm-hmm. And we've seen quite a transition in who's on our streets and what our streets look like since the scooters came to town. I don't remember exactly what year it was. I should put that in my brain. But it was definitely pre-pandemic. And suddenly, like, the number of cyclists seemed to go way down as people just started to choose scooters, too. So the Bike Louisville program is starting to think about scooters as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to incorporate all modes of micromobility and how we could move a little bit away from car travel for short trips. And scooters, e-scooters can be a big part of that and a useful resource for people. So we're trying to accommodate them as best we can with projects that we have to maybe incorporate parking areas that people can take advantage of and just have a better sense of how to safely ride the scooters and park the scooters so they're not an inconvenience to other community members.
Yeah, exactly. And I know I didn't even say I was going to ask you about this, but it's definitely been on my mind is that Louvelo has gone away, the citywide bike share system. And I know that the city is now trying to figure out what's the next step for bike share in Louisville. And I know that there are some scooter companies that also do bike share, right, in other cities. So is that part of the conversation now?
It is. We're working with the scooter companies to try to plot a path forward and see how we can make up for the loss of Louvelo. Yeah. And a lot of these scooter companies do have dockless e-bikes that they have that can maybe potentially fill that gap or at least provide a resource for people who maybe have a slightly longer trip than what they would want to take on an e-scooter.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I'd be more comfortable myself, but I don't spend a lot of time on scooters, so
right.
I don't know. But yeah, certainly with the evolution of electric bicycles, I think that's another thing that's really getting more people on two wheels, right?
Yeah. I rode my first electric bike last fall, and I'm hooked. They got me. I don't have one myself, but I really was impressed with just the ease of travel and how it could really push people who don't usually think of active transportation as an option to get out and try commuting my bike.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's a phrase we've talked about before on this show, but just to remind our listeners, what do you mean by active transportation and why is it important?
Yeah, active transportation can involve scooters, bikes, walking, really any form of transportation that is using your body and active movement. And it's just a great way to not just get around the city as a healthy alternative to driving a car, but also for the environment and reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. Both important ways to move towards a sustainable future.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, roller skating, skateboarding, those are all can be part of the solution too for shorter trips. You know, it's probably not comfortable on a 15-mile commute, but for a shorter trip, it makes a lot of sense. Why do we assume that you need to get in this one-ton box just to, you know, get a few blocks away, right? And so there's also an evolution of electric cars as well. And I'm starting to get questions about this relative sustainability of these various things. And I think there's a huge difference in the environmental impact of an e-bike versus an electric car, right? Just first of all, in the amount of energy consumed is hard. You can't even compare it, but also in the amount of materials that go into manufacturing the thing too, as well. So when people ask me, would you ever want to ride an e-bike? I'm like, I'm okay. I can use my human power. Maybe when I'm older, or if I become infirm or have an injury or something, then or move to a place that I think is really hilly or I have a really long commute. But for me, I could still get around under my own power. But I certainly don't. Yeah. I don't belittle anyone who, for them, it's a little difficult to just jump right on and do a regular bicycle trip to get everywhere they need to go. That takes a lot of conditioning and maybe something you could build up to, but e-bikes can help fill that gap too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great way for encouraging people of all abilities to get out and try active transportation, so I'm all for it.
Yeah. So getting back to a bike share system that had some e-bikes, which Louvelo never actually did, right? But also the whole idea of dockless, I think, is really exciting because, like the scooters, that means that your bike share bike might be available where you need it instead of only at the stations around town. And that flexibility, I think, is really important when we're trying to solve these intermodal or multimodal challenges, right? I hope the city's looking into a possibility of a dockless with maybe some e-bikes for replacing Louvelo. I think it is something that our city could really use.
Yeah, absolutely. The flexibility of dockless seems to be what people are really drawn to, and you can see that with ridership numbers for the e-scooters. So having an option for dockless bikes would be great, and really maybe get more people to try it out instead of having to find a station near them or near their destination.
Yeah, so many options to make it a better system for everybody. So getting back to this Bike Louisville program at Louisville Metro, I used to get it regularly, this newsletter with all kinds of great information about bikes, and this is just relaunched too, and it's something our listeners could subscribe to, right?
Yeah, we just relaunched the newsletter in January. It had been on a bit of a hiatus since before COVID. So this newsletter is really meant to just create a dialogue between the community and Metro government on all things bike.
Nice.
Give updates for bike infrastructure programs, projects, and any events coming up. Everything that people might want to learn about in terms of cycling in the city, that'll be on the newsletter, and also create an avenue where they can provide their own feedback.
Feedback, yeah.
As well. So it's something that we're really striving to create that dialogue and that connection between community members.
And linked to an improved website, right?
Yes, we're actively redoing the website, updating it with information that people might find helpful, and whether that be bike maps or ways to request maintenance.
Yeah.
A big issue that I've come across since taking this position is maintaining the infrastructure that we do have.
Right.
And there is a link on our site, on our homepage, where you can go and request bike lane sweeping, lane maintenance. If there's a corridor you'd like to see more bike infrastructure, you can request that. Also, bike parking is a big one as well. So
nice.
If there is a form where you can go, a very quick map where you can drop a pin on a map where you want to see some bike parking, because that's a big issue too, is whenever I'm riding somewhere and I'll look on Google and see, is there anywhere to park my bike nearby? And just having that convenient and secure parking for people is a great way to encourage them to take more trips by bike.
Well, I've definitely already seen some of those racks popping up around town. Is the city, have now a regular budget for improved bike parking, or how does that work when people make a request?
Yeah, so right now, as we wrap up this fiscal year, we're wrapping up our supply of bike racks.
I see, yeah.
And we're really encouraged that the response to this bike request form has been so great that we've gotten more requests than bike racks we have in stock right now. So it's the whole issue would be prioritizing those requests that we do have coming in with the remaining stock that we do have, and then looking for other funding options to move forward and get more racks for next fiscal year as well.
Okay. Does the city use a fiscal year like the university where July 1, it's all new? Okay.
July 1, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. So get your request in now. Maybe there's some bike racks left, or they'll stay on the list for
the next fiscal year. We'll wipe the list clean come July 1st.
That's great. Again, we're talking about Bike Louisville, the newly revived program of the city. You can find more information and request a bike rack or other of improvements, sweep of the bike lanes. That's a huge one. Get the debris out of there at louisvilleky.gov/bike-louisville. My guest here on Sustainability Now is Chris Butts, a Louisville native, avid cyclist, and as of 2023, our new Bike Louisville program manager for the city. He began his career in land use planning for Hardin County, and while finishing his master's degree at U of L in the urban planning department, and then he worked for TARC and is now working for the city. So let's talk about what's coming up in May. May is Bike Month, and I know we always participate in the National Bike Month Challenge at U of L. I don't know if anyone else in town does. It's kind of a workplace-based thing. It seems to have evolved into. But what is the city going to be doing during May to promote bikes?
So May is, we're very excited for Bike Month in May, and our first in-person bike event since before COVID
amazing.
is May 17th. It's a Friday.
Friday,
we're
May
doing
17th.
Bike to Work Day. It's a nationally recognized day as part of Bike Month, and we're very excited to partner with local bike shops, local bike cycling groups, and to host this event. So what it'll look like is we're hosting four group rides from four different parks, and all four of those rides leaving at 7:30 in the morning.
Got to be an early bird.
Yep, bike to work. And we'll meet at 4th Street Live.
Everyone's going to ride to the same place.
Everyone's riding to the same place, and we're going to meet for a coffee and donuts hangout.
Yeah.
And just to meet with other cyclists and talk cycling. We'll also have a raffle of some bike gear from local shops, including a new bike from Parkside Bikes as well.
It's going to be
a fun time. And we'll let everyone go to work after that, and we can meet back at 5:30 for return rides.
Oh, so cool. Cool. Do people need to register for Bike to Work Day? Is that how they get in the raffle?
Yes. So if you don't register, you're more than welcome to show up and ride with us. We're not going to turn you away.
Sure.
But if you want to be a part of the raffle, you're going to have to register. And you can register. There's a link on our website.
Can they register right up to the day of? Or when's the deadline for...
Day of? That's totally fine.
Okay, cool. So go to louisvilleky.gov/bikeLouisville now and learn more about Bike to Work Day coming up on Friday, May 17th. And you can register now. Registration's live, right? And,
yep.
And get in on that raffle for maybe you could win a free bike. And then join us at 4th Street Live. There's going to be coffee and donuts and those raffle prizes with those four meet and ride locations. Do you know them off the top of your head what those are?
Yes. So it'll be Shawnee Park, Seneca Park, Iroquois Park, and George Rogers Clark Park.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, great. I know one year there was even a Southern Indiana one, but you're welcome to come over from Southern Indiana, ride the Big Four, and then join us at 4th Street Live right around, I don't know, 8 o'clock probably is when folks will be rolling in. And then again at 5:30, we'll meet again for return rides. So you don't have to be biking to work, right? Maybe you're off that day. Maybe you've got the summer off or whatever. You're welcome to just ride with us. It's always fun to do group rides. They make the streets feel so different.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been taking part of more and more group rides since I started this position, and they are really fun. You really get to enjoy the lane and kind of ride a little bit stress-free. For sure. And we're encouraging, you know, all levels of riders to take part. Louisville Bicycle Club is volunteering some of their members to serve as ride captains. So each location will have at least one ride captain. So these are experienced cyclists who are used to riding in the street. So if you're not used to riding in an urban environment, don't worry.
This is the day to do it.
This is the day to do it. Yeah. We'll also have Middle of Town Cycling and Fall City Community Bike Works. We'll have people there with tools. So if you have a flat or any type of small minor repair day of that you weren't expecting, they've got you covered.
That is perfect. That's going to be really helpful for people. So this is definitely for the experienced cyclist is welcome, but the idea is that we're reaching out to folks who maybe haven't been thinking about maybe I'll bike to work. And by doing this in community, it's going to feel a lot easier. Believe me, you're going to have support of others. You're going to maybe learn a few things from them. You might learn that, I hope I win that raffle because this bike's not going to work for me. It's my daily commute, right? So everybody is welcome. You don't need to be an experienced rider or anything like that. But when I'm thinking about group rides, that makes me think too about the Mayor's Hike, Bike, and Paddle. Always a fantastic day. Now that's not commute oriented at all, but so many different kinds of folks on bikes come out for that. Is Bike Louisville going to have a hand in that event?
We'll try to be a part of every metro cycling event going on this season, especially as we're trying to get out in the community more and get more input on our cycling infrastructure. So we'll definitely be there. Come say hi. We'll have bike maps. We'll have swag and things to give out, and just we're always looking to get input from the community.
Yeah, okay. So keep an eye out for Bike Louisville at the Mayor's Hike, Bike, and Paddle Labor Day and Memorial Day. And then what about Cycluvia, where we close the streets? Is that part of the Bike Louisville program?
So it's not under the Bike Louisville program. It's under the Office of Planning, but we will definitely be there as well.
Oh, great. Oh, awesome. We are talking bikes here today with Chris Butts on Sustainability Now. Let's talk about some of the new improvements that I've seen popping up. There's some stuff happening down on Lexington Road in the stretch from Payne to Wenzel. What's going on there? It's a different kind of road configuration than I'm used to.
Right. If you haven't been on Lexington Road in a while, it looks a lot different.
Yeah.
We have our first park and protected bike lane in the city, heading eastbound on Lexington Road from Liberty to Payne. And we also have another bike lane heading westbound as well. And the section of Liberty that is also protected by delineator posts.
Okay, and those are those flexible white reflective posts, right, that help separate the lane. We're kind of used to seeing those around town, but what's new about this one side of the bike lane, and this is like the area around Headliners Hall, if you're familiar with that part of Lexington Road, is that the bike lane is actually behind the parking lane, right?
Right. Yeah, so it was before we finished the striping, I can see how a lot of people were confused on how this was going to look. We put in the curb stops, the parking curb stops first, and then we went by with the striping a few days later. So for a while there, we were getting some calls saying, what's exactly going on Lexington Road? But the idea is that those curb stops will help keep the parked cars out of the bike lane,
right,
far enough away from the curb to allow cyclists to use that bike lane,
right,
and but also act as a buffer for
the door zone is not exactly. Not really that threatening over there because there's the pretty decent wide buffer with the curb stops. So this is fantastic. I've seen it in other cities and maybe ridden once or twice on a system like that, but we've never seen it in Louisville. Do you know if there's other such bike lanes in the state? Could this be the first one in the state? Gosh, I
I'm not aware of any. There could be, but I mean, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's great to see this this move by Metro on a project like this.
And it's so funny because we don't think of parked cars as part of the urban infrastructure, right? We just kind of say, oh, we'll put them at this side of the road. But they can be a really important tool for traffic calming, for protecting cyclists, right? So it's really great that the city planners are starting to think about how we can utilize a parked vehicle that's just sitting there doing no good for anybody, right, as something that can actually be a tool for improving the streets.
Yeah, I mean, a big concern we get when we're looking at adding bike lanes to restriping is, you know, please don't take away my on-street parking.
Right.
And a way to still allow people their on-street parking but create an even better protected bike facility is to bring that parking lane out and put a bike lane there.
I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. What also has happened is a basic road diet there, right? It used to be four travel lanes for motorized vehicles, right? And now it's down to two. Were traffic studies done, I assume, to figure out that would work?
Yeah. I mean, it's a part of a collective work of road dieting that Metro and KYTC as well are doing to look at past infrastructure and redevelop it to encourage traffic calming and maybe redevelop it around traffic volumes that may not be relevant.
It doesn't
now.
Really justify
it doesn't,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that many lanes. And, you know, I'm not looking at Lexington Road every single day. It's not like I live on it, but from the times I've been there since this went in, it doesn't seem like, oh God, there's traffic jams now there. I'm going to avoid it. They've also done a nice thing with creating this sort of rationalization of an intersection where if you wanted to continue straight on Lexington Road, there was a stop sign, but it wasn't really clear who had right of way. And that's been fixed quite a bit too. Yeah.
Yeah. At the intersection between Liberty and Cooper and Lexington Road, that intersection was a bit tricky.
Yeah.
Where you had a stop sign kind of just floating out in the middle there.
Sign. Yeah.
almost. And what they've done with the floating concrete island is really redirect that Lexington Road part of the intersection to straighten it out and come at more of a 90-degree angle. So
it's really clear who's got the right of way.
Right,
I think it's much better. That's a great improvement. You know, this is not just about accommodating bikes, but making the road safer for everybody. And I really love what's happening there on Lexington Road. But also, we've seen improvements in Germantown on Ellison, right? What's happening there?
Right. Ellison was restriped a few months ago, but we just got the delineator post a week or so ago.
Oh, cool.
So if you're riding down Ellison, you're going to notice that those improvements. And what we saw were buffered bike lanes heading into town and heading eastbound. We have the protected bike lane with delineator posts.
Oh, nice. Now, was parking moved or shifted or taken away for Ellison? How did that work?
For Ellison, yes. For the eastbound protected lane.
Okay.
Yes. The buffered lane would still have parking, but the idea was to give enough of a buffer to eliminate or reduce concerns of door zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Collision. And that's a street I go on a lot as well. And it does always seem like, as was the situation on Norris Place, that, you know, really only half the parking is used at any one time. It just happens to be scattered across both sides of the street. And if we can just consolidate that on one side, suddenly we have room for everybody.
Right.
So I really love that. And that connects right into the other much older project on Castlewood, where you have a two-way cycle track, which had been torn up by the water company until very recently. Is that reopened?
Yeah, that's reopened. Thankfully, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's one of our older protected bike lanes. But
headed right into Tyler Park. It's a really safe, fun corridor for people on all kinds of non-motorized vehicles. Really, it's I see people pushing strollers there all the time, walking dogs, and it's great. It's very comfortable as an alternative. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great facility, and it's a part of this push that we're seeing with more separated protected bike lanes. Yeah. Our total number of separated bike lanes is about 1.7 miles.
Okay.
At a total of 89 miles of bike lanes, wow. Which is not a lot, but yeah. But a good mile of that has just been in the last month or two. So
that's awesome.
It's a good step towards the right direction.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about improvements for cyclists here in Louisville with Chris Butts. He is the new program manager as of 2023 for Bike Louisville, which is just being revived. You can learn more about it. You can subscribe to the newsletter, find links to their social media as well at louisvilleky.gov/bikelouisville. That's a piece of it I forgot to mention. You guys are on the socials.
Yes, we are about to launch our Instagram accounts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So be on the lookout for that. But cool. we are on Facebook, and you can find out everything that we're working on through there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about the bike implementation plan. This is both Public Works and the Office of Planning partnering to do a study about Louisville's existing bike network, right?
Yeah. So the bikeway implementation plan is really looking at our existing network and seeing where there are priority areas that could be good candidates for quick build, quick win implementation projects. So we're really trying to find ways to improve the network, but also not necessarily with projects that might sit on the shelf for years, yeah. But also the community is really looking for implementation to come out of this plan.
Yeah.
And so that's what this whole plan is focused around, is getting stuff on the ground as quickly as possible.
Great. And as you may be listening to this on Monday, April 15th at 6 p.m., is a virtual kickoff and community engagement meeting about this plan. But people can still give comment, right? There'll be other opportunities?
Right. So the virtual kickoff meeting is right now.
Yeah.
But that's not the only opportunity. We will have another in-person,
oh, cool.
Totally public stakeholder meeting in early June.
Oh, okay.
So you can go ahead and hop on our website, and we'll have registration for that event too.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Another thing that's happening, and I know it's not a Metro Louisville project, but I'm sure they're collaborating with you, is a rethinking of Main Street downtown. And I went to the public meeting that the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet held about that. First of all, you want to explain, why is the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet talking about Main Street?
So yeah, this is a state-run project. On that corridor of Main Street, a state-owned road.
Right.
So this is their project. So I haven't personally been involved in it, but I've reviewed the plans, and I've been really encouraged what's coming out of KYTC and on some of the projects that they've put in place.
They seem to be starting to get interested in converting some of these one-way corridors in our city that, you know, were clearly designed to move automobiles as quickly as possible, right? And get them flushed out or something, and turning them into real more neighborhood or business corridor like on Main Street. This is really important for revitalizing businesses. So when you get twice as many eyeballs, people going in both directions, a little slower maybe, instead of just speeding by your business, you're likely to get more people patronizing your business too, right? And then making space for transit users and for bike lanes as well. I think Main Remade is this very exciting project. If you haven't learned about it, you can learn more at mainremade.com. They're still seeking public input on that project, which, as I understand it, is a three-phase project that's starting sort of on the east side of Main Street and then working west?
Yes. So the first phase one would be from Baxter to Second Street, and that should be set for
this year, I believe.
The end of this year, yeah. At the earliest, yeah.
Very cool.
And it's very exciting. And those plans include park and protected bike lanes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, you're reminding me that happened in March, and I forgot that that's also a part of that plan, too. So, boy, we're going to be really increasing the mileage of those here.
Yeah, no, it's going to skyrocket. It was great to see KYTC prioritize complete street designs and multimodal transportation in this plan.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, we've got 10 minutes left, but let's talk about some of the goals that maybe Bike Louisville and you, as the new manager of the program, have going forward. forward, what are some of your top priorities and goals?
I think some of my top priorities would be increasing the communication between Bike Louisville and Louisville Metro with community members about cycling, and also developing strategies to better maintain our infrastructure that we do have.
Yeah.
But also prioritize expanding the bike network that we have. And in ways that could encourage more people to get out and try cycling as a form of transportation or recreation.
Right.
I'd also like to focus on providing infrastructure that encourages cycling, like bike parking, and increasing those initiatives as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the maintenance that you've already said you've gotten some comments about. Things like sweeping, but also just, you know, paint fades over time, right? And I don't know how the city normally makes calls about that. Like, when is it time? Any striping on our streets. Tell us a little bit more from the public works perspective about how those decisions are made and how things get prioritized.
Yeah, so we do have a restriping schedule, and we'll have corridors that are earmarked for restriping at certain years.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the meantime, there could be problem areas that are fading quicker than that schedule is
for sure
allotted for.
Yeah.
So having an avenue where people can report that and let us know that these sharrows or this bike lane is almost not visible. So we need to get out and address that or sweeping as well for bike lanes. I've heard from a lot of cyclists that, you know, they'd love to use the bike lanes, but they just can't.
They can't. Right. And I don't know if this is something that drivers think about at all, but certainly on a bike, you're really at risk if you head into, you know, a pile of sand. Sometimes there'll be sand accumulating, or obviously like broken glass or other sharp debris can cause punctures on a bike really easily that a car would just plow right through, right? So I think we often think of street sweeping as just like, oh, that's, I don't know, to keep things out of our sewer system, which sure, it helps with that too, or to pretty up the city, but it can actually be essential for maintaining a functional bike infrastructure too. Oh, and that reminds me too about Lexington Road, right? Because when we first installed that bike protected lane, half of it was covered in debris, right? So y'all did a great job of addressing that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one part of putting in more separated, protected bike infrastructure is that it needs to be maintained.
Because the cars kind of maintain the lanes they drive over. They'll knock stuff out of the way just by driving over it, but that's not going to happen in this lane, right?
No. And a lot of that debris will get knocked into the bike lane. Yeah. And then when it's protected, it's harder to get to
with
our sweepers. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with Lexington, those protected bike lanes are 5 feet wide. Our sweepers can handle a bike lane 8 feet wide or bigger.
Right, but anything under that.
But anything under that, they can't get in there. So we've been working with our roads department and our sweeping crews to just come up with a schedule where they could get out and use other tools to maintain that. So, Castlewood, for instance, you know, when you have a two-way cycle track that's a bit wider, those are easier to maintain with our sweeping or sweepers, but something like Lexington that's so narrow, it provides an additional challenge.
Yeah, and it's especially challenging there because it's right up against a sloping land that has had some erosion into the bike lane too. So y'all did some nice work of trying to clear that out, but then also reinforce that slope.
They did a great job. So I rode out on Lexington Road pretty early on in the process when they had just striped that bike lane and put the curb stops in. And I couldn't find the curb because the mud and debris had for years had covered that up.
Yeah.
So the contractor out there, they were able to get out there that next week and dig it up, find that original limestone curb, and reinforce that hill to
Fantastic.
Where it'll do better at keeping debris from coming in. Still not perfect. We are going to have, after, for instance, a big storm, like we're seeing a lot lately, debris will find its way into that bike lane, but we're working hard with our roads crews to maintain that.
That's great, yeah. And then just getting back to striping, it seems like there's basically two different kinds of striping, right? There's plain paint on pavement, and then there's thermoplastic stripes, right? And it makes a huge difference.
Yes. So thermoplastic tends to last longer.
Yeah.
It's a different process in laying that out.
You can only do it at certain temperatures too, right?
At certain temperatures, yes. That makes a big difference. If it's not the right temperature or if it's raining, it's not going to stick right and it'll flake back up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the reason I think why sometimes, if people don't understand why sometimes you see some of the stripes are still there, but the other ones are gone. It's because it's actually a different material entirely, right?
Right. Absolutely. So yeah, we'll have stretches of Breckenridge that the buffered lanes on Breckenridge in Kentucky are great ways to get around the city east-west connectors, but they are fading, and those are the majority of that is paint, so they fade quicker. And you'll see sections of that are maybe look a bit newer, and particularly the symbols, the bike symbols, those will hold up a little bit better because they're thermoplastic, but for the most part, those were paint.
Yeah. Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about infrastructure. Let's spend the last few minutes together talking about education and trying to reach those underserved communities. I mean, those pieces are really an important part of also improving the bike situation for people in Louisville, right? I mean, where else are they going to get education about safe cycling, how to bike year round, all those kinds of things, right? So what is the city thinking about in those regards?
Yeah, this Metro has a couple of really great partners who offer bike education classes. Louisville Bicycle Club offers their free rider clinics.
Awesome, they're still doing those. Okay, yeah.
And Fall City Community Bike Works also is a great resource for people who need help with their bike or really just trying to learn how to fix a tire, how to maintain their bike so it lasts them and gets them to where they need to go. So on top of that, you know, Bike Louisville is really pushing this year to try and go out and be more active in the community, providing bike safety resources and connect with the community there to try to get them out and cycle.
Absolutely. And you're also thinking about doing a little bit of an e-bike rebate pilot program. You want to tell us about that?
So that is not in the works.
It's not in the works.
No, sorry. that is something that has been an idea that's floated around, and I know other cities have done it. Denver has had a really successful program that they piloted just a couple years ago and has seen an incredible response. And they'll have certain number of rebates that go out at different points of the year, and those rebates will be gone online, you know, within minutes of being released. So that's not in that hasn't been in the works with Metro. It's not something that I to my understanding that's being considered at this time. But but personally, I do think it could be a really great way to encourage more people to get out and cycle, especially when the cost for an e-bike are so high. It can kind of reduce that barrier, especially for people with, you know, limited means.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always thought one of the greatest things about biking is how affordable it is. Pretty much everybody could find an affordable bike, but when we start talking about e-bikes, it's almost a different game.
So
having a rebate program would be fantastic. Well, we're out of time here, but let's end with one last reminder about how people can get involved during Bike Month coming up in May. Remember, register for Bike to Work Day Friday, May 17th, right?
May 17th, yep.
And you can go to louisvilleky.gov/bikeLouisville. There's going to be raffle prizes, 4 meetup locations at 7:30 a.m. where you can group ride and get free coffee and donuts at 4th Street Live. And then everybody's going to meet back up there at 5:30 for the ride home. So it's going to be a great event. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope our listeners are thinking about how they can get on two wheels this spring. It is a beautiful time to ride the city. Chris Butts, thank you so much for coming in the studio and taking time with me today. This has been great.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. Coming up in just a second, I've got your community action calendar with some ideas about things happening just this week to get engaged in sustainability. So stay tuned, my friends.
When I was a child, I walked these hills, drank from the streams and heard the whippoorwills, and I ran through the fields just as fast as I could, through rocks in the creek, up the deep green woods, climbed up on the mountain, there as fresh as could be.
And we are back here on Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Get your pencils sharpened. Get your calendars out. Let's get ready to take action for sustainability this week. But before we do, I just want to take a quick second to thank everyone who came out for our wonderful 7th birthday party on Saturday at Logan Street Market. If you didn't hear the live broadcast I did, you can check it out online on our SoundCloud, forwardradio.org. You can find the link to the podcast version of that. We really want to thank everybody who came and celebrated with us, and Charles Booker and Tony from East Leeds Community Radio for joining us as well, and our contra dancers and contra dance musicians and callers. Man, it was such a great time. I also want to thank everyone who contributed to Forward Radio throughout our pledge drive and through our silent auction on Saturday. If you didn't get a chance yet, please do go to forwardradio.org. We're leaving the link up to our Give Lively page where you can still help us try and reach that goal of $7,000 for 7 years. Together we can do this and keep this great resource on the air, and you can still pick up on some of those great thank you items, the hoodie, the t-shirt, the bumper sticker, the enamel pins. It's all still there for you at forwardradio.org. You'll find the link, so please do that today. All right, what's going on this week? Well, Tuesday, April 16th at noon, there's going to be a National Faith and Climate Forum. Louisville is hosting a local session of this forum, and you can join other people of faith to hear inspiring national speakers and participate in purposeful discussions, practical workshops, and energizing collaborative sessions. Everyone is welcome to join, no matter what faith or no faith. We can all be part of the solution in our congregations and our community. This event is streamed live, showcasing national faith leaders. It offers local in-person watch parties, like happening here in Louisville, and engagement opportunities. You can learn more and register at nationalfaithandclimateforum.org, and it's taking place Tuesday at noon to 5:15 p.m. at First Christian Church, 7700 U.S. 42, out in the eastern part of the county. That's Tuesday noon to 5:15 p.m., First Christian Church on U.S. 42. All right, what else is going on this week? Well, actually, Tuesday is packed full of things, as it seems to often be. This Tuesday, April 16th, is another opportunity for you to take part in Zoning Matters, conversations with a city planner. These conversations are part of an ongoing land development code reform happening here in Louisville. It's an equity-focused approach to revise our town's zoning ordinances consistently with Plan 2040 to allow for increased housing choices and opportunities in new and existing neighborhoods, to create procedures and regulations that are easier to use, and to increase the quality of life by reducing the concentration of environmental hazards near housing. So you have the opportunity to speak with a city planner about that this Tuesday, April 16th, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Northeast Regional Library. And you can learn more about this and about the Louisville Land Development Code Reform process at louisvilleky.gov/LDC reform. Also on Tuesday, April 16th at 4 p.m. online, it's the next U of L Sustainability Roundtable focused on the social impacts of Louisville's newest park. You can join the U of L Sustainability Council for this Spring Sustainability Roundtable series on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And we're continuing this series this Tuesday with Quincy Langford, a U of L Sustainability Master's student who will be sharing his research on surveying resident experience and mapping block conditions near Alberta O. Jones Park in the West End. No registration is ever necessary. You can just click on the link to join. Find that link at louisville.edu/sustainability, and we hope to see you online at 4 p.m. on Tuesday the 16th. Then later at 6 p.m. on Tuesday the 16th, it's Climate and Health Summit Community Event at the Seelbach Hotel, 500 South 4th Street. The U of L Environment Institute is hosting this Climate and Health Summit Community Event on Tuesday at 6. Join us for a short reception followed by an insightful discussion focused on the impact of climate change on human health. U of L President Schatzel and Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg will begin the discussion. Special guests will be Drs. Gwen Coleman, Sanjay Rajagopalan from Case Western University, and John Balmes from UC Berkeley. They're all experts in the field and going to be talking about their latest research. Don't miss out on this unique opportunity to be part of the conversation and drive change in our community. You can
register for it at eventbrite.com. It's the Climate and Health Summit community event at the Sealbach Hotel, 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Also, Tuesday the 16th at 7 p.m., you're going to have to pick one of these. Can't do everything, my friends, but Ford Radio's proud community partner, the Greater Louisville Sierra Club, invites you to join them as we hear from U of L sustainability master student Ella Swigler and learn about her research around local streams using the National Geographic Marine Debris Tracker app. This is taking place on Tuesday at 7 p.m., either in person at United Crescent Hill Ministries, 150 South State Street, or at online. You can join. And this research that Ella did began as part of the Community Engaged Educational Ecosystem Model Program through the Equon Lab at U of L. It is an eight-week project funded by the National Science Foundation, and the research topic examined the anthropogenic litter trends in Beargrass Creek. The team explored the land use surrounding each of the three forks of Beargrass, as well as the habitat health and human awareness at various sites along the way. Each of these variables were analyzed in relationship with the amount of litter observed within the selected sites. You can learn more and register to attend virtually at sierraclub.org/Kentucky. And if you come at 6:30 on Tuesday, they're going to be serving free warm pizza for everybody who comes out in person at United Crescent Hill Ministries in Clifton, in Crescent Hill. Okay, that's it for Tuesday. Coming up on Wednesday, April 17th, it's Caring and Compassionate District 4 Candidate Forum hosted by Vocal Kentucky from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. This is taking place at the new Vocal KY headquarters at 723 South Brook Street. Vocal Kentucky has a new headquarters located right in District 4, which is a very important Louisville Metro Council seat. District 4 has a great deal of outreach efforts, diverse housing, major medical facilities, arts, businesses, neighborhood associations, downtown development, restaurants, and even high needs populations. It's an open seat as incumbent Councilman Ja'Cory Arthur is moving on to do his work in a different way, and there are now 11 registered candidates who come from different parts of District 4 with a variety of backgrounds, connections, and experiences. Well, we need to know where the candidates stand on justice, compassion, mass incarceration, HIV, AIDS, homelessness, civil rights, harm reduction, and our roadmap to end overdoses. And this is an educational and awareness building event open to all candidates, no matter what political party they are affiliated with. It is free, but they ask you to RSVP so that they can provide enough food and materials. Yes, there'll be food available. You can learn more, find the link to RSVP at facebook.com/vocalky. Again, it's Wednesday the 17th, 5:30 to 7:30 at the new Vocal KY headquarters, 723 South Brook Street. Also Wednesday the 17th at 7 to 8:30 p.m. online. It's the next Real Good News on what's wrong with natural gas and what's right with small hydro. Wednesday's virtual event will focus on continuing progress toward clean energy in Louisville. It will take a clear-eyed look at the drawbacks to relying on natural gas and the realistic potential for low-income hydropower. In 2020, Metro Council passed a resolution to move the city's operations to 100% renewable electricity by 2030. The resolution also sets a goal of 100% clean energy for the entire Louisville community by 2040. Will join us Wednesday for a presentation on the role of fossil gas in Louisville's energy mix by Byron Gary, program attorney for the Kentucky Resources Council, and we'll learn about how Kentucky's resources of hydroelectricity can achieve clean energy goals with David Brown Kinlock, president of Appalachian Hydro Associates. The event will also show you how you can attend Metro Council meetings to speak in favor of implementing Louisville's clean energy resolution. It will open and close with music by John Gage. Real Good News events are sponsored by the Renewable Energy Alliance of Louisville, Kentucky Interfaith Power and Light, and the Christian Action Group, St. Paul United Methodist Church. It's free, but registration is required, and you can find the link to do so at renewableenergylouisville.org. We hope to see you Wednesday at 7 p.m. online. Also coming up Thursday, April 18th at noon on Zoom, it's the Third Thursday Lunch Series focused on Women of Iran, a Feminist Perspective. Ford Radio's proud community partners, Louisville Fellowship of Reconciliation and Sowers of Justice Network, present Farah Mukhtarzadeh, who works locally in healthcare equity for an Indiana-based health system. She was co-coordinator of Voices for Creative Nonviolence from 2001 to 18 and organized several delegations to Iraq, Palestine, Lebanon, Afghanistan, Syria, and Jordan, including as a first responder in Palestine. Farah completed her PhD in 2016 from Trinity College Dublin. Dublin, Ireland, on the subjects of gender and Islamic family law in modern Iran and Afghanistan. And she also holds a BA and an MA from the University of Pennsylvania in modern Middle East and Islamic religious art, respectively. Originally from U of L, Farah moved back in December 2022 from Lebanon after working on several years of education and community development projects across Africa and South Asia. She is currently co-founder and coordinator of the Louisville Ceasefire Coalition. Thursday's talk will be on Zoom and streamed on Louisville FOR's Facebook page. We'll also be broadcasting and podcasting the program soon here on Forward Radio's Solutions to Violence program, where you can learn more and find the link to register for the third Thursday noon lunch series on Women of Iran, a Feminist Perspective at LouisvilleFOR.org. Now, Trees Louisville is looking for volunteers this week. If you're interested in helping out, you should just email Morgan at treeslouisville.org. And coming up this Thursday on April 18th, they are looking for volunteers to help plant 30 trees at Portland Cemetery from 1 to 4 p.m. They'll also be having the holes augured, so you won't have to do quite as much digging. It won't be quite as heavy a lift at Portland Cemetery, 1 to 4 p.m. on Thursday. And then Saturday, April 20th, they're going to be out at Bates Elementary from 10 a.m. to 12:30, helping plant over 60 trees. And this event is also open to the public. And again, if you want to help out or learn more, you can just email Morgan at treeslouisville.org. There's also going to be one next week. Hey, yeah, Tuesday, April 23rd, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. John Lutheran. They'll be going to be planting 23 trees then on the 23rd of April. All right, coming up Thursday, April 18th at 7 p.m. online, so there'll be a solarized Louisville workshop with Pure Power Solar from 7 to 8 p.m. online. Both Icon Solar and Pure Power Solar are offering the same standard panel pricing along with a 12 to 18% discount, ensuring that participants receive the best possible value for their investment in solar energy. With the unfortunate rise of predatory solar companies in the region, Solarize Louisville is seeking to protect consumers who are interested in investing in clean energy. In addition to these significant savings, participants in the Solarize Louisville program are also eligible for a 30% tax credit through the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, further reducing the cost of transitioning. The Solarize Louisville program is open to all homeowners in Jefferson County and surrounding counties, including Oldham, Spencer, Shelby, and Bullitt counties in Kentucky, as well as Cross River and Harrison, Floyd, and Clark County, Indiana. The Solarize Louisville team will be hosting these in-person and virtual workshops where you can learn more about installing solar on your property. To learn more about Solarize Louisville or to register for the Thursday 7 p.m. online workshop, go to solarizelouisville.com. Now, on Friday the 19th, we want to invite you out to U of L for our annual U of L Maple Syrup and Honey Pancake Party. Yes, it is a great event. We're stretching it out to 2 hours this year on Friday from noon to 2 p.m. at the Cultural and Equity Center's multipurpose room. You can also join us online, but it won't be nearly as delicious. And it's our monthly EcoReps workshop featuring locals making a difference in sustainability. And we always offer a free vegetarian lunch or brunch in this case. And we're wrapping up the year with our annual celebration of our sweet sustainability harvests on campus as we sample some of this year's maple syrup and honey harvests. Come enjoy some pancakes with our very own local sweetness. Everyone is welcome. You'll also learn about tapping U of L maple trees to make maple syrup and raising honeybees on campus. And in this special extended session, we're also going to hear a presentation from students in the urban agriculture class about how to raise snails for escargot with vertical farming in a warehouse, how to do aquaponics, how to raise mushrooms. Learn more at louisville.edu/sustainability, but no need to register. Just come on out Friday the 19th, noon to 2 p.m. at the Cultural and Equity Center on the north side of Belknap campus. All right. Also, Friday, April 19th at 2 p.m., there'll be an Earth Day of Service out at Louisville's newest park, Alberta O. Jones Park, 744 South 23rd Street, in collaboration with the Parks Alliance of Louisville, Beargrass Thunder, the Louisville Youth Build, U of L, and the Office of Sustainability are hosting an Earth Day of Service, planting native pollinators and picking up litter in Alberta O. Jones Park. Community organizations and partners are welcome to table and share information about their sustainability and environmental conservation efforts. Mayor Greenberg will kick off the event at 2 p.m. with a summary of Louisville Metro Government's recent sustainability project. You can learn more and register to participate at louisvilleky.gov/sustainability. It's Friday at 2 p.m. at Alberta O. Jones Park. Saturday, April 20th, there's going to be a Bear Grass Creek clean sweep from 8:30 a.m. to noon, meeting up at the parking lot at Ledge Road and Lexington Road near Cherokee Park. You can join the Kentucky Waterways Alliance, Brightside, Metro Council Districts 8 and 9, and many other clean collaborative partners to clean up the middle fork of Bear Grass Creek near Cherokee Park on Saturday morning. No need to register, just coming out 8:30 a.m. on Saturday at the parking lot at Ledge Road and Lexington. Also, Saturday the 20th, there's going to be a Community Earth Day starting at 9 a.m. in downtown New Albany, Indiana. It's an all-day Community Earth Day hosted by the Southern Indiana Citizens Climate Lobby. Celebration of Earth Day with yoga, tree giveaways, and other family activities. And it will be held in downtown New Albany on April 20th, starting at 9 a.m. Also, Bernheim Arboretum and Research Forest is hosting a wonderful event on Saturday the 20th from 10 a.m. to 4 called Restore. Healthy planet, healthy you. The health of the planet and the health of humans go hand in hand, so join us to celebrate nature's healing powers and learn how conservation and protection of the earth are at the center of everything that they do out at Bernheim. During Restore, visitors will not only witness the breathtaking beauty of spring at Bernheim, but they're also going to enjoy drop-in self-care activities and a variety of educational experiences to inspire you all to implement more sustainable practices in your daily lives. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Take a deep breath of fresh air, courtesy of a healthy forest, and find peace in the sweeping views of natural beauty. The activities that are going to take place out at Bernheim on Saturday include a tree giveaway, a mending clothes demonstration with the Far Woods, a drop-in Q&A session for at-home native garden planting with Beargrass Thunder, ornithotherapy, a soil block native flower seed planting in the edible garden, a Waters of Bernheim walk and talk, contra dancing, drop-in yoga, climate crisis action planning with Bernheim's advancement team, your pledge to the planet, kids tree climb with a grand canopy tree service, plant for the benefit of wildlife with Bernheim's research coordinator Kelly Vowles, and Phil Tamplin of Bluebirds will be having a booth as well. Along the way, you'll also find activities and information from community partners whose work focuses on a healthy planet and a healthy you. And at noon, Bernheim's going to honor its 2024 climate heroes, yes, including yours truly. I'm really excited to be there along with a bunch of other true climate heroes as well, and some former guests of this program. It's a free event. No registration is necessary. Just come on out, and you can learn more at bernheim.org. It is 10 a.m. to 4 on Saturday. On Monday, the True Earth Day, April 22nd, Waterfront Botanical Gardens at 1435 Frankfort Avenue has a schedule of events for the day. It's listed at waterfrontgardens.org/Earth Day. Highlights include a 9 a.m. conversation and coffee with Karen Maynard of Metro Public Works. Register for this special conversation on how you can prevent and reduce food waste. Coffee and tea will be provided. We ask you to bring your own mug to make it a zero-waste Earth Day. It's free with a suggested donation. And from 1 to 3, they're going to have a neighborhood trash cleanup. You can join the garden staff for this cleanup of trash around the neighborhood. Volunteers are welcome to join us as we walk the area. All supplies will be provided. And then from 3 to 4, it's sorting trash versus recycling. We'll meet back at the gardens at 3 to sort items that can be recycled from those that will go to the landfill. Coming up on Earth Day Monday, this 22nd, there'll be a free film screening of This is the Ohio, Life, Death, and Rebirth of the Beautiful River. That's taking place in New Albany, Indiana at the Carnegie Center for Art and History. There'll be another screening too on May 10th in Louisville at the Waterfront Park. Join us for a screening of this exciting new documentary. You heard all about it on this program when it premiered at the Louisville Free Public Library. This is the Ohio, Life, Death, and Rebirth of the Beautiful River. In this hour and 8 minute long film, filmmaker Morgan Atkinson travels the 981 mile river from Pittsburgh all the way down to Cairo, Illinois, revealing perspectives and looking at the river in a new and provocative way. It's enlightening, educational, and definitely entertaining, suitable for all ages. Prior to the film, Kentucky Waterways Alliance and Kentucky Riverkeepers will give a brief overview of the Ohio River Restoration Plan, a bold initiative to restore and protect the waters of our region, and describe how local communities can contribute to its success. This event is co-sponsored by the Kentucky Waterways Alliance and Kentucky Riverkeepers, so you can learn more at kwalliance.org. But again, that is coming up on Earth Day in New Albany. And lastly, I want to let you know that Earth Day is also the last day to register register for our primary elections here in Kentucky. They're taking place on May 21st, but you need to register by April 22nd. You can check your voter registration status, request an absentee ballot, or see a sample ballot, and you can even register to vote online at govote.ky.gov. And that's all the time we have for today here on Sustainability Now. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you all so much for making our 7th anniversary a success. I look forward to being back in your ears again next week, my friends. Be well.